Hey guys, it has been well over a year since Radcast has put out an episode. It's been a crazy, crazy year. So I've become, I've built a career, so that's always good. So I've been very, very busy, both with some other, entertainment stuff and then normal career type job stuff. So that's mostly been the reason I travel a lot for work, and it makes it very difficult to do this, but we're looking to really get back into this, really relaunch the brand, get a lot of things put out. We're not going to do a sponsor for this episode. I want to just dive right into it. There are some coughs, as you can see there. So sorry about that. I tried to aim away from the mic as much as possible. For this episode, which will be episode 48, I believe, we brought Josh Lampton back and kind of did like an OG podcast from back in the day with the big dog. We talk about MMA, UFC upcoming bouts. We talk about comic books. We talk about the comic book movies coming out, the new Spider-Man, Avengers, Aquaman. We talk about video games. We talk about the WWE. We kind of dabble in just like a bunch of different nerd stuff. So I hope this is something you guys can enjoy. I had fun doing it and sitting down and chatting again. It kind of really revamped why I love doing this. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's around an hour, I believe. Please like, please share, all that fun stuff, and we will see you guys on the next one. Thank you.
Speak of the devil, and he shall appear.
You're about to be killed by a Zamboni.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Relaxed and smiling.
Oh!
I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody. The double champ does what the f*** he wants.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
Why are you screaming? Well, I haven't even caught you yet.
What do you have to say about that?
Anderson Silva, you absolutely suck.
So it's been over a year since we've done an episode. I figured the only way to re-kick this bitch off is to do it OG. So, as you could tell by probably the intro I put into this, I got Josh Lampton here. Back from, like, the OG handful of podcasts.
The original, since before this podcast was even called Radcast.
I know. So, back to the OG. Way to kick this off. So, wasn't really sure what we wanted to go over, wasn't really sure what we wanted to talk about, but from following all my social media stuff, following the podcast stuff before, I've always been big into like, video games, comic book culture, things like that. And right now, we are ripe with news and ripe with things going on in this world, including probably one of the two things I'm most excited about on the list we have here is the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer dropped, yesterday?
This morning.
Or it's Coming Home, not Homecoming. Homecoming was the first one. Coming Home. So this morning, yeah, dropped this morning. And oh boy, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
I only watched it once just because I didn't want to watch it too many times. Sometimes if I overwatch trailers, they'll lose their allure a little bit. So I watched it once. Mysterion looks dope. But Mysterion also looks like he looked like he was using like the same sort of magic / powers that we see with Doctor Strange, which was kind of cool.
See, my thing is, it's totally all a hoax, though.
Because you have a theory.
I do.
Okay.
My theory with it is I 100% think that it's fake. And he's not, it's all like...
It is a show.
An illusion.
Okay. Because that's in the comics, that's kind of what his
thing. It doesn't actually have any powers. The only reason how he knows how those looks is because the footage from when everybody was fighting.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's why he looks like that.
Okay, so in the trailer, spoiler alerts if you want to be spoiled for a fucking trailer, but people get all hardcore about this shit. In the trailer, it shows like a bridge is being like blown up, there's smoke, and he's like flying around in the smoke and like shooting green from his hands, kind of a thing. So you think he, like, none of it's happening, or you think he is blowing up the thing and he's just making it look like he has powers?
Smoke and mirrors.
Okay.
All of this.
So, do you have a more in-depth breakdown of, a full movie premise? Like, from the trailer, have you gathered, like, I think this is what the movie's going to be about, this is what's going to happen? Or do you think just, like, that part's smoke and mirrors? Because that would make sense for Mysterio.
I 100% think that the Spider-Man movie, for one, is not going to have anything to really do with
Avengers. Okay.
I think because this is going to branch off into, like, a Sinister Six movie.
Okay. I can believe that.
And I also think that, like, Sandman's in this movie.
I did see, like, a rock-looking dude. Mm-hmm. Do you think they would be ballsy enough? Because everybody hated Sandman from
100%
the original trilogy. Do you think they would put him in there?
Yeah, 100%. Okay.
Do you think it's a bad idea? I kind of do. Because every one of the Spider-Man movies that started dabbling in numerous bad guys, kind of that's when they started to go to shit. Other than the Sinister Six, because that's obviously a super badass group of
which is supposed to be coming out, though.
Which, yeah, and I'm all on board for that. Do you think it's a bad idea for them to have two or three villains in a movie? Like, especially if it's a bunch of, like, B-rate villains for them?
It depends on how they play it out.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen the Marvel Universe do it so much. It's always been, like, Sony itself, and this is more part of the Marvel Universe. So.
The only thing that would make me nervous is the only time they messed up on that was during Iron Man 2.
True, because they had, like, or not...
Two, or three.
Three. They had the fake Mandarin, yep. And that was rough. Talk about a fucking letdown.
Yeah, it was a letdown.
Because I actually liked the fake Mandarin character they were doing, like, the speech and stuff. I was like, this is cool, and then... He's like an actor. It's total fucking dog shit. Hey, don't do that. So, seeing this trailer, I was super fucking excited. Like, the trailer was good. And we got to see a glimpse of a couple suits. Mm-hmm. So, you see the OG Tony Stark suit he gave him from the last movie. You get to see is it Spider-Man Unlimited with the webbing?
Yeah.
He's got the webbing, like, to glide and stuff. Yep. So, that's super badass. And then they showed, like...
see where he was wearing all black.
All black and, like, goggles flipped down... over his eyes. You saw that, right?
But that is his stealth suit, is what I'm guessing. I 100% don't think it's actually, like, Venom, obviously.
Oh, it's not Venom. It's definitely Spider-Man, but it was, like, a weird, like, almost like a Spider-Man noir type thing. Because in the trailer, he says, like, oh, I'm going to leave my suit. I'm going to be with my friends. I don't want to be Spider-Man. So I'm wondering if that's, like, a suit he slaps together before the other suit. Because somebody made him.
A portable suit, maybe like what Tony Stark does.
Maybe that, but to me it was even like maybe he just bought shit like around, like he just like wherever they were in Europe or whatever. Where did they go? It was Europe, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I'm assuming he just like bought a beanie because it looked like just like a black face mask that he put like goggles over. So I'm assuming he just like bought some shit to do some Spider-Man stuff because the Spider-Man Unlimited suit is somebody clearly made him that suit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he gets it from Nick Fury, who shows up in the trailer,
or yeah, which was that was also weird though too, because he was like fully back as just normal him, which I think 100% guarantees that time travel is happening 100%.
Well, Nick Fury clearly got brought back,
and it's going to change things where I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s back,
like fully coming back.
Like they never went away because they knew how to avoid it.
Okay. Okay. I mean, it would make sense at this point. Like anything would fit into the narrative at this fucking point. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the only reason why I say that is because in the trailer he was like,
"Sorry for the cough, guys."
Like OG looking.
Well, I mean, he still had the eye patch and everything.
Yeah, which he still will. They're not going to go back that far.
Yeah,
I'm saying, but he looked like he did like from the first movie. Whereas you know, in the later ones, he's like trying to get away, stuff like that.
Yeah. To me, it was when I saw Fury, I was like, okay, so the movie comes out. After Endgame. So in the timeline, is it after Endgame? Or is this like between Homecoming and the first Avengers? Because, or the first, you know, Infinity War. Because if it's post-Infinity War, them showing us Nick Fury means he got brought back to life. Because he dissolved at the end of Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
If it's pre-Infinity War... Like, the timeline's just kind of...
Could happen right before.
Right before Infinity War. Right.
Which would explain why he looks how he looks.
It would. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it could be... Because I think that, like, Kevin Feige and, you know, everybody involved, I think they're too smart to, like, not think that we wouldn't notice, like, oh, fuck, like, Nick Fury isn't. That's just too blatant. Mm-hmm. I feel like the timeline's not quite what we might think it is. And then... As far as, like, the in-game portion,
it's far from home.
Far from home. Holy shit. What did I say? I said Homecoming, which is actually the first one.
And Coming Home.
And then I said Coming Home. Jesus Christ, Nick. We've been waiting for this movie for a year.
Yeah.
Speaking of in-game, we're not going to get into the Hugh Jackman thing. That'd be great if it happened. But with Endgame, we've seen clips from the trailer that they released like a week or two ago, where it shows all the characters, some of them in their older suits, and they all have that like gadget on their hand that we've never seen them with before. So it's kind of leaning towards the whole like quantum realm travel / time travel has something to do with Ant-Man. I mean, that's the most plausible thing to me, is like Ant-Man spent... Time doesn't work the same in the quantum realm. He got stuck in the quantum realm. So maybe he was in the quantum realm long enough to kind of figure out how shit works, and he can kind of manipulate it. Mm-hmm. So he can go in and out of the quantum realm, kind of like Adam Warlock and Doctor Strange. So I guess goes back in time with the people who are still alive to try to...
Looks like they go back to the very first Avengers movie.
It does, because like some OG-looking suits. I don't know, man. they're playing it really close to their chest, and they could honestly do literally fucking go anywhere with it. But I have not been as so excited to see like the most movies when they break movies up into sections. I'm like, fuck you! I paid money. Mm-hmm. I waited 4 years for this movie. I just want to watch the whole thing. I don't want to have to watch three pieces of it like all the new fucking Harry Potters do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been so excited to watch like a part two of a movie ever.
Well, it's yeah.
It's ever.
Definitely worth it, yeah.
I'm so excited. And it's a couple months away. It's right before the same week as my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, April, what, 26th? They moved it up, and I'm pretty sure it was April. And it was, like, the same week of my birthday. So, and then Spider-Man comes out, what, June again?
Yeah. Let's see. I think so.
It sounds right.
April 26th.
Yeah, April 26th. Okay, fuck, that's so fast.
Spider-Man is July 5th.
Okay, so it's July. So
and Shazam is also April 5th, but no one cares.
Oh, no. Yeah, so speaking of DC, okay, so we'll get into Shazam in a minute. I went and watched, so I'm pretty sure I did end up covering it on the podcast. Maybe not. It might have been post my last episode, but I hated Justice League.
Yeah.
Did not like the movie.
Well, for one, it was like most DC movies, and it looked like you're watching it at night.
It was just a Zack Snyder movie. It was, let's take these guys, and everything is green screen, even when they're standing in a field.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just
a green screen.
Heavy filter. Like, it was like the movie 300 with superheroes in it.
Yeah, it was it wasn't that great.
It was fucking Sin City with Superman in it. I can't stand that. Like, why? Especially since Man of Steel was, like, very pretty. Like, really good cinematography in that movie. Like,
aesthetically, a great movie.
Aesthetically, great movie. And then they made that dog shit. I think it was because, like, Zack Snyder was on the project, and then they pulled him off the project. So, like, everybody who took over after him were like, well, we need to make it look like a Zack Snyder film. So let's just fucking throw six layers of filters on that. Not only that. Just the movie itself, like, the plot was, like, meh, the action was meh, the jokes were meh, like, it was just, it felt rushed and slapped together.
Totally.
We've waited, our entire lifetime, and people that are much older than us that have been fans of these characters waited their entire fucking lifetime for an actual Justice League movie, and they...
Not very great.
Bombed it, especially the whole...
If you go back and look... Justice League, when that came out, Avengers, when that came out. When Avengers came out, it actually gave us what we were wanting.
Yeah, the first Avengers was glorious.
When Justice League came out, nothing.
It just made me not care about this character for a little bit. Like, I literally was like, whatever project they're attached to, who gives a shit? Wonder Woman was good, like, by itself.
I think the biggest problem with DC movies is that they're playing catch-up.
They're trying to play catch-up, yeah.
See, like, Marvel, when you go back to like, the original ones...
It was a 10-year build.
Like, in the storyline, I guess Hulk 2 and the first Iron Man, okay? The quality of those is, like, getting better, but it took them 10 years to get there.
Yeah.
DC is trying to go...
Let's do it in 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah, and it showed.
Yeah, it shows.
It showed hard. Every one of them. It showed hard.
But Aquaman...
Okay, so I went and saw Aquaman. I will say... Okay... Wonder Woman was also pretty good by itself. I had my problems with Wonder Woman. We did do that episode. Me and Ben did an episode where we talked about Wonder Woman.
And I liked
it. I liked Wonder Woman. Yeah, I liked it too. I had my problems with it, but it was good for a DC movie. It was pretty solid. Aquaman, I will say, Well, I have a few hiccups with it, just like most movies. You almost can't tell that he came from the same little universe as these other films. Because it's like the same team that made this one. I don't know if they just listened to the fans really well, or like the director.
That whole movie was fan-based, I mean.
It was. Yeah, they kept the suit.
They kept the character. They've been wanting that character Black Manta since way before anything.
Yeah. Everything was on point, dude. Like, they did a really good job. Like,
they wanted Moa to play Aquaman since literally before Superman vs. Batman even came out.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, they did a very good... Like, they did a very good job. The movie was fucking solid. I think I gave it, like, a 7. Which, for a DC movie, that's pretty fucking solid. The laughs were pretty genuine. Like, it made me chuckle a few times. The action was pretty fucking badass. It is a little hard because, you know, it's hard to make that movie and it not be a little over-animated because everything takes place underwater. So it has to be CG. That being said, pretty fucking good job. Like, they did a pretty good job on the CG. I didn't know, like, there's a few pleasant surprises. Like, Willem Dafoe plays a pretty big guy in it. And I was like, fuck yeah, I love Willem Dafoe. They kept Black Manta's suit, like, OG. And then they, like,
gave... Well, Aquaman's suit was completely OG, too.
Well, Aquaman's suit is OG, but Aquaman's suit is also, like, it's easy to accept. Black Manta's suit from, like, the old comics is, like, retarded looking. It's just that giant disc helmet. Like, mm-hmm. So most, I think most directors and writing teams would have written that out. They'd have been like, fuck that big goofy-ass helmet you're wearing with the bug eyes. Where this movie, the guy, like, gets the suit and he tries to... make the suit better, like smaller. He tries to make a small helmet, like a normal helmet, but the lasers are so powerful that the fucking helmet kept exploding. So he's like, I gotta make the helmet bigger. Like, the lens has gotta be bigger. And so it kind of gave a good reason why his helmet's so wide, which was pretty cool. That character was super dope. They gave, like, a good drive as to why he wants to kill
anybody else. Would write out that helmet, though, at all. Because anytime he's ever been in anything, he's always had the huge helmet. But and I think you would have to have, like, a team from, like, Fox directing the movie to, I mean, write out that helmet.
I think if it wasn't for DC needing a win so hard and them not landing such a good director, I think it would have been written out.
You think so?
I really do. I really think they would have tried to make it modern. Because so many times they've done that to characters. I mean, look, me and you talked about how surprised we were that they kept the Aquaman suit, like it is dead on.
Yeah.
It's dead on.
It's true.
If we look back 5 years ago, somebody would have changed the suit to make it more modern. They would have probably kept the color scheme, but they would have changed it.
They've done it. Probably wouldn't have been as huge.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like, they've done it so many times.
Not Juggernaut from X-Men 3, bad, but...
Yes.
Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. And so, and you know, because they know how much it helps them to listen to the fans, like, we're getting that fan service. Deadpool 2, that was a good Juggernaut.
Oh, yeah. It was 100% perfect.
Great Juggernaut.
He had the big... shaped. Everything about that was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a fucking great job. So, like, I think just years of, like, success and probably, like, hey, what does Marvel do that's so right is, like, Marvel stays true to their comics. And we've seen, I mean, look what they did with the Green Lantern movie.
Way too much.
Way too CGI. Much. Way too much CGI. They tried to put, like, a more realistic twist on some of the characters and stories.
I like that movie, though.
I didn't hate it as much as everybody else talked about hating it, but it definitely was not my favorite. Galactus and fucking Fantastic... I mean, that was a Marvel movie, but Galactus and Fantastic Four?
That was a Fox movie.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just talking comic book universe turning into a live-action film. Like, nailed Silver Surfer.
Perfect.
Ruined Galactus.
Yeah.
A cloud. Yeah, a cloud.
A cloud.
Yeah. So, and he's one of the coolest, strongest characters in Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
And they were willing to write that out. So, I'm glad the decisions they made in Aquaman. It was a solid movie. They gave you some heartbreak. They gave you some laughs. They gave you good action, like, when you needed it throughout the movie. I'll tell you, though, it's a long flick. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, the new Avengers is supposed to be 3 hours.
Yeah, but the new Avengers has also been built up for 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
Whereas in Aquaman, I think what it was, like, they were like,
Wonder Woman was long, too, though.
Wonder Woman was long, but it wasn't 2 hours and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Like, I think what they did is they were like, they bombed so bad with Justice League.
It was not great.
No, it bombed bad. It bombed. And I think it was a double-edged sword of, like, if we blow this, A, that's another DC movie, we might be fucked. And if we blow this beat as an Aquaman, the first standalone Aquaman movie, we're never going to be allowed to make another Aquaman movie.
Mm-hmm.
So let's double down and incorporate everything we love about Aquaman and make it as badass and cool and great as fucking possible and shove it all into one movie so that if it fails, we were going to fail anyways, fuck it. If it passes, though, it's going to pass hard because of how close we stayed to, like, true to the comics, and they're going to earn themselves another movie. And to be honest, I think they easily... Would it make $1 billion?
Yeah,
something like that. It hit, like, $1 billion. Yeah. Like, they're making another Aquaman movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's... 2 days ago it did. 2 days ago it officially passed $1 billion mark.
Yeah, that's
nationwide.
That's insane. For a DC movie.
Worldwide, I mean. Yeah. Not just...
Yeah. For a DC movie, that's fucking solid, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes up for it a little bit.
It's on week 3, isn't it?
I think it came out last week of December.
Yeah, so we're on week 3, and it's still like second in the box office this last weekend. That movie with Michael Cranston in it took first. Kevin Hart.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Only for this week, though.
Yeah. It only made
$16 million. Whereas Aquaman still made like $14 million this week.
So it's got some staying power,
which
is good.
That one movie, Dog Come Home.
Oh, yeah.
They're thinking that movie might break even. What do you think the budget on that movie was?
So the one about the dog literally
going
getting
home.
Lost and trying to get home?
Yep. A homeward bound, but not a good homeward bound.
Bro. Okay. Probably more than we would ever imagine it was.
It ain't like Avengers,
no,
obviously.
But let's say...
But just, if you really think about a movie where a dog's coming home...
$10 million.
18.
18. Mm-hmm. Okay.
18 was their budget.
Who's in it? Anybody. You're gonna have to look?
Well, you got the dog.
Well, there's $6 million right there. That dog's got a solid contract. Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. I mean, like, I didn't even look too much into this movie, to be honest.
Well, let's look into it. So, we do know it costs 18. What are they at right now, making it back?
I'll have to look. Well, this is the first weekend they're open.
Okay.
They were only at 2.
2 for a weekend?
Mm-hmm.
It was like kind of a, like for 3. Kind of a bullshit, who cares movie, that's not terrible, since it costs 18, you know?
Patrick Gela.
So, basically nobody.
I mean, yeah.
Some old school B-rate guys. Stuff like that. Okay.
Complete B-rate movie.
Yeah, complete B-rate movie. So, also, bro, I'm going to be honest. I have a hard time, like, getting into Kevin.
It's made $11 million now worldwide.
Out of its 18?
Yep.
Okay.
It's not too bad.
I mean, they can't be mad about it. What was their goal? Like, did they think, like, we're going to hit 50? $5 million. Yeah. Like, maybe calm yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
But Aquaman was solid. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I was happy with the movie. Like, I walked out like, this is what I needed after Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thank you. Because that character was good in Justice League. Like, he was cool in Justice League for sure. I don't know how I feel about their version of the Flash.
Like, I don't like that at all.
If he takes one step, there's a fucking lightning storm that goes two blocks.
I don't like that Flash at all.
Especially since the WB's Flash has done so well.
CW.
Or CW. Well, isn't the WB, didn't that become the CW?
No, did it?
I thought it did.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Who cares?
That version, the CW version of the Flash is so well done, and it's still going now, live, in this era, that it's hard to, like... It's hard for us to accept just another Flash anyways, but...
He's great
if Flash. You're going to do it, you have to make sure it's flawless.
Yeah, Grant plays an amazing Flash.
He does a great job.
DJ and I were very skeptical.
And the way that the show does it, with, like, the budget of it...
When it first came out, we were very skeptical.
Yeah, so was I.
Because we were like, Flash is, like, in the comic books, he's a smaller guy, but he's, like, fit.
Mm-hmm.
Grant's really...
He's a pretty small guy, yeah.
Especially in the first season. He's bulked up slightly. But perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, because when they did the crossover, I think it was like at the end of Arrow season 2. It wasn't really a crossover. He just appeared in it. We were like, this is iffy.
Right.
But that first season of Flash was great.
Dude, the first two seasons were
The first season of Flash.
Solid.
That was the best in CW, that era.
I would agree.
Because you were on... Arrow, season 3, which was a banger. Then you had Flash Season 1, which was also amazing. So you had both of them going, and they were both great movies, or TV series.
Yes, series. But yeah, he does a great Flash. The show does it good. Like, the effects work. Like, the way the movement and everything looks great in the Flash. So, again, if you're going to bring us another one in the same time that this is still going, it's not like that show ended 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and here's the new version of the Flash. Like, you're introducing a second Flash in the same universe.
In a Flash era.
In the era of Flash. It's got to be flawless.
In an era of Flash where they have multiple Flashes on the Flash, and all of them
are better than that
better
Flash.
Yeah. That Flash.
Agreed.
Like Zoom.
One of the biggest villains of all time, bro. Yeah. 100%. That was... Oh, God, he was solid. Costume, on point. Voice, 100%, on point.
They're not going to put Arrow in Justice League ever, I don't think. And if they did, that'd be stupid. You're not going to find a better Arrow... Stephen Amell.
I know.
He's the solid. Best Arrow. That is a solid character.
Yeah, that is solid.
That was his role. That was like Wolverine.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He's 100% Arrow.
Hugh Jackman actually grew on me. I did not like him as Wolverine in the beginning. Just because I
read... Like in the first three?
Like the first like one or two.
Oh, really?
Because, here's why. Not necessarily to fault of like his like acting. His acting was great. I read, like, Wolverine was one of my favorite characters, and so, like, I was reading the comics hard. Wolverine's, like, 5'4", and 900 pounds, you know, a little no. fucking shitstorm, and Hugh Jackman's, like, 6'4". So, he was, like, tall, a lot lankier, Wolverine's have a thick dude, and it just was a hard sell for me, like body-wise.
That movie came out perfect timing, because the X-Men from the 90s was just getting over,
mm-hmm.
and now he wasn't small, and that showed, though. He was, like, normal height as everybody else, and he was just big. He was, like...
He was still short. Like, if he was standing, like, next to Cyclops, he was still quite a bit shorter.
Before the 90s series that everybody likes, you know, that there's
the solid.
There was an X-Men series in the 80s, mm-hmm. like, right towards the end of the 80s, and then the 90s one. Wolverine pre-90s was a nothing. Comic books, nothing.
I agree. He was... no one gave a shit. He was always a side character for, like, the whole...
100%. No one gave a shit. Hugh Jackman brought that character and the 90s cartoon to being the front runner for being the best character.
I'm not arguing like what he's done as Wolverine. I'm just saying, even though people weren't super big Wolverine people before Hugh Jackman, I was. I liked that character. I thought he was badass. And in the comics, like, you know, he's just portrayed differently. So for me, when they, oh, it's Hugh Jackman, I was still a little kid, but I was like, Hugh Jackman, like, that's not Wolverine. And as I got older, it was hard. But then... As he played the character, and, like, he bulked up with the character. Like, every time we have seen him as Wolverine, he's bigger. His hair was perfect. Like, he's portrayed the character perfect.
There's only four people out of that entire Fox series that I say actually portrayed their characters
correctly.
Perfect. Can you guess them?
Magneto.
Okay.
Wolverine.
Of course.
Nightcrawler. The OG Nightcrawler.
No.
No? I loved the OG Nightcrawler from the second one. Mm-hmm. I loved him. I fucking loved him. Okay, so, Magneto, Wolverine. I didn't like Cyclops.
No?
No.
Professor X, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Patrick Stewart, solid mm-hmm. Professor X.
Solid.
And then one more?
Yeah. Perfect. Spot on.
The OG Sabretooth?
No. No, God, no.
I liked the OG. I didn't like any of the ones
after. I liked
the
OG better.
Yeah.
Beast.
Yep. The OG Beast was great. He was great. Kelsey Grammer?
It was the only four that were worth the shit. I thought.
Kelsey Grammer.
Out of everybody. all the characters they brought in.
I hated... what's the character that was like the frog guy? What's his name?
Toad.
It's just Toad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't like his portrayal.
At all.
At all.
The first Wolverine, or the first Sabretooth, was okay.
He was just the closest to the comics,
right.
So I appreciated it.
Right.
I don't think he was a great actor, but closest to the comics of Wolverine, because everyone else was just a tall guy with like a mm-hmm. trench coat.
But I feel like that's kind of how his character was... portrayed. I mean, there was no... Here's what I think. I think the actor that played him...
Mm-hmm. In the OG?
No. In
like the
Wolverine.
Liv Schreiber, like, yeah.
Wolverine Origins. Was a great actor.
Yeah.
But if he visually looked like the OG...
Oh, yeah.
That would have been...
Oh, no, I agree. Great. But that was my point. It's like, Liv Schreiber's a crazy good actor. He's awesome. And, like, he portrayed him well, but I was like, that he doesn't look anything. Like, they didn't even give him the hair or anything. He was literally just Liv Schreiber with kind of some fangs.
Like, that's it.
That was literally it. So I was like, get the fuck out of here.
The Deadpool from that series was great.
Yeah, bring him back, huh? That was... one of the first atrocities that I really ever was like...
One of the worst of all time.
What? Like, just what? You know what I absolutely hate? Fucking absolutely... Okay, so the new gen of X-Men, which they're, like, all of them, but a little younger, I struggled with a little bit. Didn't hate all of it, but I struggled a little bit. The young Magneto, I like him as young Magneto. The girl that's playing Jean Grey now, younger, from the girl from Game of Thrones, can't do it, bro.
One of my favorite memes right now, speaking of going back,
it, bro.
Is when they show Professor X, and they're like, in 5 years, because it was only 5 years difference from when they went back in time.
Oh, I know, and then he's like 90 years old.
So that's my favorite memes going on now is, man, what happened to him in those 5 years?
But I can't stand that girl that's playing Jean Grey. And then they just keep fucking... Like, I get it. They literally had to write a movie where their characters fucked with the timeline to basically explain and get everybody off of their ass of how much they have fucked with their own timeline.
Yeah.
Okay. Days of Future Past was a good movie.
One of the best ones they did. One of the best superhero movies.
I agree. It was a super good movie.
That was a solid movie.
But... That movie, you cannot write in something to make me ignore how shitty you were at keeping track of your own fucking storyline. Like, I'm sorry. The fact that you tried to fix your timeline with that movie, I get that. But you guys were jumping all over the place with story arcs and shit. You already dealt with the Phoenix Jean Grey when she was older. And now she's like 17 and she's fucking Jean Grey that's going to become the Phoenix and that new one coming out.
Well, technically she had the Phoenix powers so the whole
time. Well, no, I know she did. But I'm just saying, like, they're all like... When she became the Phoenix, other than, like, Xavier in the old one, they were all like, whoa! And in the new one, they're all like, yeah, okay, this is the first time we've seen this again. Like, I'm not bought in. I don't like her as an actress. Maybe that's a cunty thing for me to say. I just don't. I didn't like her in Game of Thrones. I don't like her in this. She just plays the same, like, little meek, mousy ass. I don't buy you as a hard ass at all when they always try to turn, like... go from, like, meek and quiet to, like, she's a hard ass. I'm, like, not sold.
I'm not sold on her at all. I'm
not sold on her at 0%. All, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not bought in. I don't even want to see the movie.
I honestly, I had huge hopes because Days of Future Past was, like, amazing.
It was really good.
And Apocalypse was just not good for me.
It
was a good movie.
It was good. Here was my biggest complaint. Apocalypse should have won. Like, the color scheme and stuff of his costume was good, but he was small. Because Oscar Isaac's, like, a small dude.
Mm-hmm.
They should have made him look bigger. He should have been, like, a big fucking... He's a big dude.
Oh, yeah.
Apocalypse is huge. And then they showed him throughout the whole movie. He could basically just destroy things from existence at will through the movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, his powers were inconsistent as fuck.
And then they kill him in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
When they're like, we're actually going to fight him now. And he's like, no, you're not. And they're like, you're dead.
Yeah. You're not going to do that. Yeah, we are. Bang.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
I was like, you built this dude up to basically, like, as I'm watching it, I'm like, what does he have, fucking Living Tribunal's powers? He literally just, like, waved his hand and, like, disintegrated a bunch of shit.
Oh, he's strong, bro.
No. I know he's strong. I'm 100% with you. Apocalypse is a badass character. And they were doing him good in the movie. But they're, again, you're building the whole movie how, like, we can't fucking stop this guy. And they're doing such a good job, and then kill him in 3 seconds.
Now, Apocalypse, you think he beats Thanos 1-on-1?
Ooh.
Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity Gauntlet. No.
Really?
Not with the gauntlet.
You don't think so?
I don't think so, because, I mean, they're
the
not...
powers are similar, as is, though.
True, but, I mean, the gauntlet can literally just be like, well, I guess Apocalypse can kind of do that. Here's the thing.
What are powers that you think Thanos has over him?
Well, with the Infinity Gauntlet, like, at least from the comics, like, if we're going off the movie, probably Apocalypse. If we're going off of, like, the Infinity War or Infinity Gauntlet comics, Thanos can literally, anything he chooses to be, he just thinks it and it is. So he could literally just be like, hey, Apocalypse, you're a pile of sand now. And he's just a pile of sand.
Altering reality, he could do the same thing.
But where's, like, the
Apocalypse
gap?
Apocalypse can say, Infinity Gauntlet doesn't exist.
See,
except for, I don't know if he's strong enough to actually do that.
Because here's the thing. When Thanos gets the Infinity Gauntlet, it makes all the Celestials be like, hold on, everybody stop what you're doing. We need to address this. Yet, Apocalypse has been running around for thousands of years, and everybody's like, yeah. Like,
he's okay.
Hey, let him be. So, I would have to believe the Infinity Gauntlet is just the end-all, be-all, other than, like, you know, a couple of those guys.
I think he's a watered-down version. I think he has similar powers, but they're watered-down.
I would agree with that.
Because he has interdimensional travel.
Okay.
Okay, actually, he doesn't. He has teleportation.
Okay.
Where Thanos has interdimensional travel.
So there's a big difference.
Teleportation, interdimensional travel is different.
Yeah.
Kind of the same thing, but one can go a lot farther.
A lot farther and in different realms.
One has reality bending on, you know, an earthly scale, mm-hmm. whereas one has it on a cosmic scale.
Right.
So, like, he could alter small things around him. Apocalypse couldn't change all of reality.
Right, in all of the universe at once, which the Gauntlet can do. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think
actually, yeah, on a one-on-one with the Infinity Gauntlet,
Thanos would win.
It wouldn't be an easy fight, though.
Probably not. No, I don't think he would.
Because, would you agree with this?
Okay.
Apocalypse beat the Avengers fighting Thanos. So that fight they had mm-hmm. against Thanos, mm-hmm. could Apocalypse beat them? Same exact team.
I would say yes, simply for the fact that Thanos never even used the full reaches of the gauntlet to beat them.
At that time, though, he only had 3 stones.
Well, he had 4.
He only...
Because all he had to...
Oh, yeah, because all he needed was the... No.
He beat them, got the third, fourth stone. You're right. Mm-hmm. So, one, he didn't use the full power of the gauntlet. Two, even the ones he had, like, the biggest thing he did was threw that fucking moon at Iron Man. Like, he wasn't, like, you know, making them not exist with the reality stone or anything. Like, so, yeah, I think Apocalypse could take that team the way they were.
Now, do you think he could take Thanos as he was on there? Hmm.
I think that would be where they were even.
Yeah. So now, that's how close the fight is.
Yeah.
Because Apocalypse is stronger than the Avengers fighting him, mm-hmm. but not strong enough to beat full force.
I could agree with that. Yeah, I could agree with
because that. The only powers that he really outdoes him on was the last ones that he got. Mm-hmm. Somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because he has full cosmic command of it, fucking whatever he wants.
Yeah, because the time one, Apocalypse doesn't really have a time stone.
No. But time, I mean, he's basically immortal at the point that he's at.
But he can still die. He has to hibernate.
True. Very true. And then, can he...
So he's not immortal.
Can he die? Because he just passes himself into other people, right? Or that's how the movie portrayed it.
No, he's not like that at all, no.
In the comics, he just went to sleep for like 1,000 years or something,
yeah,
right?
It's the same person, yeah.
Okay.
That's why it doesn't make any sense how they did that, because in his time chamber, there's a statue of him in every part of time where he came back, where he was a leader.
Maybe after every time he takes a body, it takes on his form or something. Maybe that's what they were trying to go for. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's...
He has to drain life essence.
I've read some stuff with Apocalypse, but not nearly as much as I have with Thanos. I've read a lot more stuff with Thanos in it. Also, let's just for a second touch on the fucking death battle that was on YouTube.
It's Darkseid?
Darkseid versus Thanos, and they had Darkseid just wipe the floor with Thanos and with some... Bullshit
logic. He would have never have actually came to his Earth.
So, but you're putting them against each other right now, so that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what I think. The death battle, the way they portrayed it, that was logical the way they explained how it ended. What I mean by that
was
that...
But it doesn't make any sense for them to choose to make those the rules. Here's what I'm
saying. Here's the problem. They portrayed Thanos to be like a stupid, like... Just
brute.
Brute, like the Hulk is.
Mm-hmm. Clearly not, at all.
And where he was dumb enough to get tricked that Darkseid wasn't actually there. And they act like Darkseid's that much smarter than him. That's
but again, is. Thanos is in charge of reality, wherever he is. So, he's going to be the first one to realize it's not real.
Yeah.
If that's your logic. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
No. These are the guys, logic behind that
these are guys that don't like Thanos that just made Thanos lose in a battle. Because Thanos with that gauntlet, other than like celestial level beings, there's nobody that just wipes the floor with Thanos with that gauntlet.
Well, here's the exact answer. Technically, that battle is a total tie. Here's why.
I don't think
because
so.
Because if Thanos fights him in his world, his Infinity Gauntlet's going to be useless.
But so are we looking at it this way? Because to me, having the Infinity Gauntlet, there's numerous universes, there's numerous realities.
So the Infinity Gauntlet, the power doesn't translate over. There's an Infinity Gauntlet in every universe.
Hmm.
So it means he would only have power where he
was
at.
But in the comics, he travels to other dimensions and stuff, and his gauntlet works.
Throughout comics, anytime that those people all came together, wherever the home one is the only one that actually works.
But in the Infinity Gauntlet comics, he goes to another dimension and like is talking with other people, and he's using the power of the gauntlet.
The gauntlet doesn't work outside of the universe. The Living Tribunal made that for only this universe. There's multiple Infinity Gauntlets for other universes.
Okay.
Like Reed Richards in one universe is the guy who holds it.
Right. Well.
And Thanos is one that holds the other one.
Well, Mr. Fantastic's kid is one of the most powerful fucking people out the gauntlets. It's such a weird that like that's who they chose to make like his kid.
Yeah,
it's fucking weird. And then who was in? Oh man, I think it's X-Men 2, Stryker's son. Who were they going for with that?
I forgot. To be honest with you, I haven't seen the movie forever.
I don't either. I would like to rewatch the first couple X-Men movies just because I haven't watched them in fucking 10 years.
Yeah. No, it was Riker's kid, but I forgot.
But basically, it was like we're imbuing the power of like.
He just.
Just I don't know. He was like super old
in like a dream state.
Yeah, it was weird. What was the other thing? Oh, I wanted to talk about some game stuff. So, we've been playing a fuck ton of PUB.
Recently.
Some PUBG, which is always good. I'd like to get a few more games, and when we get done with this, I haven't got to talk about any of this because I haven't done a podcast in a long time. But for those of you who aren't caught up, EA Sports, who has just they've just been fucking this game after game for years. They finally kind of like hit this like weird benchmark this year. Battlefield 5 came out, and it was not finished. It just wasn't a finished game. I don't care who you are, if you're a Battlefield fanboy. I love the Battlefield games, but I'm just gonna be real objective here. So. The game wasn't finished. One game mode out of like 4 or 5 were released at launch, full of bugs, almost unplayable. It was supposed to be like super realistic storyline, you know, and they basically threw a bunch of girls into the game and made like the main characters for the storyline a girl, which just wasn't historically accurate. There was no girls in that battle, yada yada yada. Upset a bunch of people. People are like, don't feed us a game that you say is historically accurate if you're just gonna like, you know, empower social justice warriors by putting fucking a chick in the game. Like, we get it. Like, that's not what we're supposed to be doing here. And EA basically just, the CEO of EA just shit on their fan base. Like, you know, a lot of our gamers are uneducated. If you don't like what we're doing with our games, don't buy them.
Which worked out well for them.
Which, it worked out great because they were 60% down in sales.
Mm-hmm.
So bad to the point that like 9 days after the game's release, they were so far behind in sales that the game has been $30 ever since.
Yeah.
They cut the fucking price in half, which also fucked people. People were mad because all these people are like, dude, I pre-ordered the game for $60 to $80 and then you're going to cut the price in half a week later?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? Like, do I get reimbursed? And they were like, nah, no, we're not doing that either. So fuck the people who didn't buy the game. Oh, but then also fuck the people who did buy the game and did stay loyal. Like, it's a cluster fucking a half. Then they announced...
Disaster.
Total fucking disaster. Then an employee leaked pictures of a Christmas party a couple weeks later where they had a bunch of... Like, a giant, like, projector board. And they had a bunch of quotes and tweets of, like, they were celebrating and making fun of their fans for not liking the game. Like, people were like, oh, this game's shit, like, it doesn't have this, and they were all, like, standing up, giving speeches, making fun of it. Like, those are the people that pay your bills.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what in the fuck are you doing? Then, they did some announcements for Dragon Age Origins fucking 70, whatever. So the next Dragon Age games, I don't remember what the name of it is, but they did a little bit of update on that, and so people started asking, like, hey, like, can we leave politics out of this one? You guys ruined Battlefield. Like, can we get a good fucking Dragon Age game, please? And one of the head developer, media guys for them basically tweeted out, like, no, this game's going to have a political statement. If you don't like it, don't fucking play it. Well, probably not going to sell any of that game either. And then this next month, Anthem comes out, made by BioWare, who's owned by EA. And it's one of the best-looking games as far as, like, previews, what it looks like, how it's going to play. I haven't been this excited for a game since fucking Halo 3 came out. Or, you know, but the problem is, it's an EA game, so a lot of my friends are pre-ordering it, and, you know, we're all trying to put this...
You still going
to
get it, you think?
I don't know, man. Like, we're all putting these shaders on as to, like... It's not going to be like that. It's not going to be like that. Like, BioWare's making it. It looks great. They're promising all this stuff. I would love to believe that, and I want that to be the case because it looks so good. But EA has had their fingers in everything, including BioWare shit, for years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm getting honey-dicked. I feel like we're going to buy this game, and it's not going to live up to the hype that they've built on it. And it's going to have all these extra microtransactions that said it's not. And it's going to have all these bugs. And it's going to be unplayable. And the servers aren't going to work. And then they're going to tell us to fuck ourselves when we ask for some support. And I just feel like I'm getting No Man's Sky again. Like
No Man's Sky. That game was something else.
Dude, that was the biggest lie I've ever bought into. And
that game... We thought it was going to be the best game.
It looks so good. Oh, the best marketing I've ever seen. And that's how I feel about Anthem. Like, this game looks so fucking good. Like, take... Like, if I could look forward into the future and see that the game was at least half as good as they make it look and then come back to now, I would give them $100 for a $60 version. That's how much I want this game to be good. But I am nervous. So there's a closed beta coming out for people who pre-ordered. I'm going to play the closed beta with some of my friends that pre-ordered it. See if it's worth a shit at all. And then I guess make my decision from there. I've thought about it. I've been at GameStop a couple times in the last week or two. I've been at Video Games Plus. I've thought, and I'm just like, I can't give these guys my money just willy-nilly anymore. I'm over it. Like, I'm over getting burnt on these games that I'm spending $60 to $100 on. And then they just tell you to fuck off.
Well, they don't care anymore.
They just don't give a fuck.
Companies nowadays are releasing games that are 50% done.
Yeah.
So you can buy the rest of the game.
Yeah. And they will yeah. We'll sell you, oh, it's a new shooter game. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it doesn't come with guns. You have to buy those in the season pass.
Yeah.
It's like, it's my, what's crazy like to
Far
me.
Far Cry. They have no guns.
They except have for the no fucking guns. What's crazy to me, though, is not just that they're, I'm okay with early release games. I buy them on Steam all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they tell you it's not finished, and they almost always give you like a fuck ton of cool free shit, whether it's updates, DLC, add-ons. You know, thanks for being part of the support. Thanks for being part of the community, building up the game. Not, we're going to market this half-done game to you as a finished product, and then when you're upset that it's not finished, we tell you to fuck off.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's something else that EA is doing. You know the open world Star Wars game? It's coming out?
Single player? I didn't know about an open world one.
Okay, so what they were doing, they were going to make an open world Star Wars game.
Okay, they probably canceled it.
Kind of have the same feel as like, I guess I would say like a Far Cry style.
But like in the Star Wars universe?
Right.
Okay.
EA canceled it.
Of course they canceled it.
Just recently.
Well, they bombed both of their Star Wars games because... They did nothing to stay true to the series.
I know there's trailers for some of the other ones, like the Floor 1911 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. They bombed both of those. They filled them full of microtransactions. They made them almost no fun to play. All the guns were the exact fucking same. Like,
game looked good.
Yeah, that looks legit. Like, but they've been canceling fucking good projects and good IPs left and right because they're canceling things as if, like, oh, this isn't going to work out. If you just left your developers alone and let them make the game that they wanted and let them make the game that we want,
mm-hmm.
you'd make a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
The problem is, you're Chappelle showing it. You're taking like, oh, BioWare makes kick-ass awesome games. Well, now that you're popular, we want to control everything you do.
Oh, yeah. And if you guys want to read more on that, go to GameRant.com.
Yeah, so it's just EA is pissing me off. Good news, we had a win as consumers. Bungie is no longer part of Activision.
Which is good.
They broke... Yeah, it's great. They broke away. Mm-hmm. Bungie is its own developer again, its own publisher again. They're going to make games how they want. And they still own the Destiny IP.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the next Destiny project is, has the potential, if they don't like Hondi Dick is to just ride the coattails of the last two games, which is basically the same game, and they go, hey guys, like, we are in control now, let's make the game we wanted to make. The next Destiny could be fucking a problem for a lot of other developers.
Activision, they got a new CFO, though.
Yeah, and they gave the dude, like, $15, $20 million as a bonus, yeah, like, his first week.
Mm-hmm.
For doing what?
Being cool.
Like, apparently. Activision keeps fucking, like, all these major publishing companies just keep ruining our fucking games. Sony's the only ones really doing it right. If it's a Sony Interactive fucking project, they leave their teams on, like, God of War, perfect.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, perfect.
Yeah.
Tomb Raiders, solid fucking games. Like, all these exclusive platformers from Sony are fucking phenomenal. Spider-Man. That new fucking Spider-Man game, dude, is the best Spider-Man game anybody's ever made.
Yeah.
Ever. Not even, can't even touch it.
Because Spider-Man 2
was Spider-Man great. 2 was solid, bro. It's, this smokes it.
Which is crazy.
Spider-Man
3 was good, too, though.
It was alright. Yeah. Yeah, this just, it's crazy how good the Spider-Man game is.
Favorite free roam game? Top 3.
Like, of any genre? Just free roam? Any
genre, free roam game.
Skyrim.
Is it number 1?
Yeah, for me.
What about number 2?
Man, I love my GTA. So, I'm going to go Skyrim, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 3 is a toss-up between Far Cry 2 and Witcher. Far Cry 2 was so fun. It was so good. But, dude, the newest Witcher, that was a Witcher 3. Fuck, that game is good. And it's huge.
Far Cry, yeah. Yeah, I'd probably say...
Well, we watched, like, those comparison videos of, like, Far Cry 2 versus all the ones after it, and, like, they got, like, the old one, you could shoot through buildings, and, mm-hmm, like, they just got rid of a lot of shit that makes no sense to get rid of to me.
I'd say my favorite is GTA 5.
Okay.
Next one I'd probably say is, honestly, Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, it is hard. You know what? Hold on. I gotta change mine. I was thinking about older games. Okay, I have to change my list completely. Skyrim's still number 1.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's a linear storyline, it is a game where you can, like, roam around wherever and figure it out as you want. The new God of War.
Is it free roam?
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the story's linear, but you can free roam around and figure it out as you go. The new God of War is, other than Skyrim, it's just because I'm a fanboy so hard and I put so much time into Skyrim and the lore is so good. Like, the new God of War might be the best video game I've ever played.
Really?
It's hard to compare it to, like, shooters and stuff, because, like, you know, shooters is just a different dynamic. But as far as, like, the storyline and the camera and the graphics, like, I'm on my third playthrough right now. Like, most games I can play through once, and then I'll play, like, online or something, but I don't want to play the campaign again. I'm on my third playthrough, and I can tell you right now, I will probably play through it again. That is how good that game is. And then...
True Crime Streets of New York is up there for me.
Both the True Crime games were good, but New York was fucking solid. New York was
better than L.A.
It was.
L.A. was a great game, but New York was like L.A., but just a little bit better.
It was quite a bit better.
Yeah.
It was a pretty solid game.
You kept all your guns in your trunk.
Yep.
There was car lots.
Yep. Yep.
See, that's okay. That's one aspect I do like about
when games just try stuff different. It's nice. It's refreshing.
New York, what was cool about it is, unlike Grand Theft Auto, because you got to think, New York came out at the same time that San Andreas did.
Yeah. Wasn't Vice City?
Was right before.
Okay.
True Crimes LA came out right in the middle of 3 and...
That's what I'm thinking of. So, yeah, New York did come out later. Yeah, that makes sense.
New York is a better game than San Andreas.
Ooh. I think the...
Changed my mind.
The free roam... Well, I think the free roam mechanic and some of the extra stuff, yes. The amount of just, like, of customizability and side quests and side roaming that you could do in San Andreas, like... San Andreas is the closest game to Grand Theft Auto 5. In the franchise, even more so than Grand Theft Auto 4.
Okay, here's the thing.
Because Grand Theft Auto 4 was a step backwards.
Okay. So here's some things that will change your mind, I think.
Okay.
New York, for one,
mm-hmm,
had a way bigger map.
But we talked, like, there's load areas, though. Mm-hmm. So,
you got the old one there is, too, though.
And San Andreas had just completely different, like, biomes within the map. Just like Grand Theft Auto. So there's, like, a desert portion, waterfront, main city, mountains, kind of like GTA 5 does. Whereas in True Crime, you're just in the city for the most part.
For the most part.
I mean, like a large majority. So it's almost just like a super repetitive map build.
But you do have the option about being a police officer.
Which is cool. It's, like I said, it is a cool dynamic. You can do both. Yeah, it is a cool dynamic for sure.
You keep all your guns in your trunk.
Yep,
which is, again, a whole bunch of mines. So here's another thing, too. The mines and stuff, how everything works, they drive over stuff. New York is so much more like GTA 5 than I think San Andreas is.
I think New York had a handful of stuff that was, like, unique and cool and that, like, nobody else did.
The car lot aspect.
Mm-hmm. They had stuff that was unique and cool, but I think it's, like, if you were to look at, like, an overall list of customizable stuff and things you were able to do,
customizable, like, what do you think is more customizable?
About? Like, body lifestyle choices. Like, you could go to the gym, you could get fat, you could, you know what I mean, like, change your accent, change your hair, customize your cars, make them lowriders, make them spray
foils. New York, you can do all that stuff, though, too. You can do custom stuff, and here's the other thing. You can go to the fight clubs and also train. I think you got a better fight, remember, because you're training
the Asian guy. Yeah, you could train, which was cool.
The very end.
Well, they didn't I don't think they had a... Well, they had a boxing gym in San Andreas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel like San Andreas just had more stuff, because that was, like, Grand Theft Auto's thing. Like, True Crime was, here's, like, the lifestyle path we're going to give you, and then, like, here's all the cool peripherals you get with it. Whereas in GTA was basically like, what do you want to do?
True Crimes, I feel, is an altogether better game.
I'd have to replay both of them, too, because I definitely played Grand Theft Auto more. So, like, I think I may have went, like,
shooting
dove deeper.
Okay, shooting mechanics for New York, 10 times
oh,
better.
Oh, tenfold, bro, yeah.
And graphics were better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the graphics were a little smoother.
Also, can you play Grand Theft Auto on a GameCube?
I don't know. Did they even have it on
GameCube? No, you're not able to. Okay. Can you play New York on a GameCube?
It probably looks like dog shit, but probably.
Looks great. That's the only thing I've ever played it on.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I guess I just have the Wii in my mind, where, like, you could buy the same game for the Wii than for any other console, and it looked 10 times worse.
Yeah, but they also didn't make Grand Theft Auto for the Wii
either. I played True Crime.
Grand Theft Auto has never been a Nintendo game, whereas...
Because of, like, a family console.
New York, and the reason why it's a better all-around game... Anybody on any spectrum could play that game. They weren't console biased. You can't have a game that's console biased because it's not
a standalone. I don't think the game's console biased. I think Nintendo didn't want to be a part of Grand Theft Auto because of the... You gotta think, when we were kids, like, everybody's parents were like, you're not fucking playing Grand Theft Auto. And but Nintendo was such a, like, family company.
But is True Crimes really that much worse?
No, it's not. But they didn't have the reputation that Grand Theft Auto had either. Grand Theft Auto had been around for years, and every game since Game 1 was like, if you let your kids play this, they're going to be devil worshippers and rape kids.
And here's why I also like the aspects of True Crimes better than a Grand Theft Auto game as well. In True Crimes, they do go for the opposite spectrum, whereas in Grand Theft Auto, you're usually always a gangbanger.
Yeah, you are. You're always a gangbanger. It was, like, again, I think True Crime introduced a lot of stuff that was just, like, new. Like, they were like, hey, why don't we a fucking good guy, and if you want to be a dirty cop, you can be. Like, they did introduce a lot. Like, I think they, I mean, realistically, they have the advantage of, they've got to build their world off of, like, games like Grand Theft Auto that were already there. So they took, like, that foundation. They're like, let's try new shit, though.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'd have to replay True Crimes, because I did play the game quite a bit, and I loved the game, but I just felt like, If I look back at all the time I put into Grand Theft Auto and then all the time I put into True Crime, Grand Theft Auto just had more stuff and more stuff to do. And that might be at fault because maybe I just didn't dive as deep into True Crime. Like I said, I'd have to go back because that was so long ago.
I think the reason why I liked it more was because during that era, I was definitely a Nintendo person. So I actually didn't fully... I didn't get to play San Andreas and Vice City a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas True Crimes I did. And then when I would translate over, I liked True Crimes better.
Yeah. Ugh. I had Nintendo stuff and, like, Xbox stuff at the time, so I got to play a little bit of everything, which was nice. GameCube era was a solid era. GameCube was a solid console. Easy to pack. It was small. Had a handle on it.
Two-pack.
Fucking, yeah, solid console. I hated the Wii.
I liked the Wii.
I liked, the Wii Sports, and I fucking hated almost everything else they made for that fucking console. The console itself, I liked the shape and size and stuff, but they just...
Star Wars The Force Unleashed was a great game on that console, though.
But I played it on Xbox first, and it looked like fucking piles of garbage on the Wii. The graphics on the
Xbox... Also, the storyline wasn't as long either.
It wasn't. No, it was way shorter. But the graphics on the Xbox were tenfold what they were on the Wii.
So of course they were.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I just struggled with that a lot. Like, I was just like, this is stupid. Like, and then...
It is weird to me how Nintendo still to this day aren't graphically pleasing yet.
The Switch is pretty solid as long as it's a Nintendo game. Like, Breath of the Wild is gorgeous, and it looks great, and it's 10 times more powerful than any of the other Nintendos, but it's still not. I mean, the fucking Xbox One X has basically got a 1070 in it, and it's a fucking gaming PC.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it does blow my mind. Like, I think they're on the right path, but I would like to see them come out with, like, they need to drop the Switch $100 and then come out with, like, a Switch X or, you know, a Switch Plus or something that's just, like, an OLED screen instead of that bullshit LCD.
Mm-hmm.
And more powerful.
Nintendo's still going for the gimmick.
They've made all their money off of gimmicks.
Nintendo's made more money than anybody else, haven't they?
Oh yeah, I would think so.
Maybe Xbox, and then haven't made more. I'm not 100% sure.
Well,
I know the Wii was like one of the biggest selling consoles of all time, though.
Well, the problem is, if you think about like time, Nintendo dominated for longer.
100%.
You know, 80s till now. The problem is the cost of console, like a fucking Xbox, you know, when they come out, they're $600-$700, where Nintendo's usually were a little on the more, you know, affordable side.
I think the Switch went the route they did because the DS is the number one selling console in the world.
Well, it just made sense too because like everybody kind of fell away from the PSP. People like to game with their friends, you know what I mean? So I think making it to where it's as powerful as a console that you wouldn't take somewhere. And then let's slap a screen on that bitch. Like, it was smart. I like the Switch. My issue with the Switch
is a cool console because you could take it literally anywhere.
Yeah, it's a super cool console. My biggest issue with the Switch, I don't know if you ever, if you go to my YouTube channel, the Radcast channel, I have an unboxing video for the Switch when it first came out. And I gave some remarks there saying, like, my biggest, like, it feels great, it plays great, this is awesome, it's super portable. My issue with the Switch is, I'm worried that Nintendo's going to do what they've always done, where they stop giving support shortly after. So, you know, I know that they don't look at the Switch as a tablet, but let's be honest. It's a fucking touchscreen goddamn tablet. They never added an app store. You can't watch Netflix. You can't watch Hulu.
Which is crazy because when you get a Wii U,
it has it.
You're able to do all of that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't watch... They still haven't given any of that. Their electronic game market has, like, 4 games on it, and the fucking console's been out for 2 years. So, unless you buy Mario Odyssey, fucking Mario Kart, new Smash Bros. Now, it just came out, or Zelda, you just threw away $300.
Yeah, the Wii, here's the problem, man. The Wii is still banking on console onlys. You know?
It's just, you should be able, you've been in the game long enough, and we can look at trends.
Like, Nintendo has exclusives, you do have to admit.
No, they do, but you can't just bank on your exclusives. 1 to 2 games that come out every 1 to 2 years. You can't. That is not worth $300 to me. Okay, you've been in the game long enough, you know what people want from gaming, and then, this is a simple conversation. If you sit down at a board of executives and you go, hey guys, can you name one fucking person you know that owns anything somewhat technological? Like, obviously you can make the argument old people don't have it, but even old people like my grandparents, name a person that has the internet and any kind of technology up to 10 years new that doesn't have Hulu, Netflix, whatever it may be. Name one. You can't. You fucking can't. People, like, cable prices or cable signups is almost non-existent right now. We are all switching to I watch a lot of HBO. I'll pay $6 a month for HBO. I'll watch Hulu. I'll pay $13 for Hulu. So,
which now you have Hulu Live.
Yeah. So you built a portable, high-performing multimedia device.
That they can't even watch Sling.
That can't even open Netflix. Netflix.
That would be a great console if you were able to do all that on, because you could watch. Can think about it. You're on a plane. You want to play your game? Never mind. I actually want to watch my show.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It literally only plays basically 6 games right now. And it's been out for 2 years. There's no apps. Not even Nintendo apps. I should be able to play Pokemon Go on my fucking Switch.
Yeah, you should be.
Like
100%.
Like, that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, 2 years in, you have not changed a thing. And it doesn't look like they have any desire to do so. You're following the path of Windows.
100%. That's dangerous. Windows phones are great.
Windows phones are the best user interface of all time.
But you want to fuck yourself.
Yeah, you're putting nothing behind development for it. Nothing. Windows phone, to this day, I will fist fight you, have the best user interface of any phone of all time.
100%.
Any phone. I'm an Apple guy for the most part. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll go into Androids every once in a while, but I'm an Apple guy. If Windows announced tomorrow, mm-hmm. we're launching a new Windows phone, it's Windows 10, and here's a list of apps that we finally got approved. We're coming out. It's got Netflix, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I would fucking dropkick my iPhone X across the street and buy that phone.
100%. Their interface immediately. Is beautiful.
It's amazing.
It's seamless.
And it's open source. So for all the people that like to, you know, jailbreak their phones, you don't even have to jailbreak it. It's just open source.
Yeah.
They just let you do it. Like, solid phones, even their kind of gimmicky phones, like some of the Nokias that came out with the fucking full-size camera on the back, like, you know, they did a lot of good things. But the only thing that was the demise to Windows, they did not push publishing for apps. 6 years after they launched Windows phones, I had the Focus, which is mm-hmm. one of the first three Windows 7 phones.
So I had probably the best Windows phone ever come out, rank-wise, which was the Nokia 920 or whatever.
At the time, yeah, the 920. So I had the Samsung Focus, which is one of the first two or three Windows 7 phones they launched. First phone with the tiles. It was great. It was super early, so I wasn't really shitty. 6 to 7 years later, the last Nokia Windows phones that came out, still no Instagram app.
Mm-hmm.
Still no YouTube app. Mm-hmm. Still, like, no Snapchat. They were all betas. Still
does that? Weirdly enough, Kindle. The Kindle interface is just the Amazon Android, and their market sucks. There's no YouTube.
Kindle sales have also fucking disappeared. Like, the only people that have Kindles, because they're like $50 now, the only people that have Kindles are people that already had them, or they literally just use it as an e-reader.
They're a kid console now.
Yeah.
100%. They are 100% the tablet.
Yeah, you can get the Kindle Fire HD for like $69.
Yeah.
But you did it to yourself.
Now, Nintendo is planning on their new update. They're coming out with a console kind of like they always do, like how they had the Slim, you know, the black Wii. You know.
I heard they were going to update to where it has like a better screen.
I know, OLED screen.
Yeah, that's what they should do.
That's what they're going for.
That's what they should do. I think they need to lower the price of the Switch. It's still $300. And to me, it's a slap in the face that you're still charging $300 for a console.
Especially when you could buy the 1S for that.
That's what I'm saying.
With a game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a slap on my face. You have 5 games out for it that anybody gives a shit about. You have no... I can't even download they have like 3 or 4 of the old Mario games. Explain this to me. Why is it that you, who doesn't work for Nintendo, and you don't own Nintendo, we can put every fucking Nintendo game ever made on a flash drive in about 40 minutes, and those emulators will run perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But you own these games, and you can't give us the emulators for $1 a piece on mm-hmm. the on a store?
Like, oh, I know. That's the problem.
It's a slap in my fucking face.
That's the problem.
It's a slap in my face. I'm not paying $300 for that console. And for me, I'm the guy they should be marketing that to. I travel every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a hotel once or twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of town every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guy that, like, I've thought about buying that console 10 times. It would benefit me very strongly.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not giving you $300 for, again, something that's only 50% to its, you know, potential. I'm just not doing that.
Oh, I'd buy an Xbox over...
100%.
Switch all day.
100%. Like, it's... It just bums me out because I see all the potential, and I, you know, Nintendo was considering selling themselves and all their shit. They gave one last go with the Switch. To me, it's a success as far as hardware, but they're just not supporting us with software. And I'm glad they've decided, like, okay, let's do a premium screen. We're going to do OLED, I think a little more firepower under the hood. But I guarantee it's going to be $600.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the Switch should be $150, and the new one should be $350.
I think $299 still for a new one. And then way cheaper for the one they have out
right now. That's what I'm talking about. Move that one down, yeah. And the new one should be $300.
Speaking of new stuff coming out, though, the iPhone 11. They've launched the renders of them.
Well, yeah, the rumors have started for sure already.
A triple camera on the back. What do you think about that?
That's just the era we're in right now. The new LG V40 has 6 cameras, so it's got. And then there's that one phone. Oh, who makes it? There's a phone out there right now that has 4 cameras on the back and 3 on the front. Like, it's just the era we're in. More cameras and sensors and depth of focus, and that's a gimmick to me. I don't care.
100%.
Even for me, like, I have the iPhone X, so I have the dual camera on the back. You know, the Note you have has dual cameras on the back. We don't ever utilize that.
How long do you think it is until 4K TVs are the only things that you could buy?
I don't think we're that far out from that, to be honest.
Samsung just launched their 8K TV.
Yep. The problem with 4K that we're having right now
is everybody's marketing it, but it's not a real 4K.
Exactly. That is this TV is a 4K, air quote, 4K TV. So there's a few things right off the bat when I Googled this TV. I'm like, 4K? Okay. 4K HDR? Oh, okay. So a TV has to have a minimum brightness threshold to even be able to produce 4K.
Yeah.
And this TV's only got about half of what that threshold is. So right off the bat, suck my dick. So what the problem is, they're making screens that have 4K resolution without being able to process 4K. So the market right now is flooded with, like, if you look, you're like, well, everything's fucking 4K. But only about 40% of it is legitimate
4K.
Rendered 4K. Mm-hmm. So, and those are still expensive ones.
Now, do you think a Samsung 8K is going to look better than an LG 8K? Because LG, let's be honest, leads the department, I feel. I feel LG has the best TVs on the market right now, hands down.
If you buy...
And they always have.
LGs have a weird swing, because if you buy, like, the top-of-the-line LG, yes. If you buy, like, a somewhat consumer affordable LG, I actually like Samsung's lines better.
For the cheaper ones?
For, like, the more affordable, yeah. So, like sub $1,000.
Okay.
You know? If you get into the few thousand dollars, yeah, LG's, like, some of their fucking ammo, crazy lead fucking things right now are just insane looking. But here's my thing. As humans, we can't even fully absorb and look at 4K correctly. Our eyes don't see that high of a resolution on their own.
Right.
So 4K to me, like, it's gonna look great, yeah. But anything past like 1440 is gonna start looking the same to us. It's just gonna be how bright is it and mm-hmm. how crisp are your colors and your HDR.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I don't think an 8K TV is ever necessary. Just give me a solid 4K with good colors and HDR features and we're good forever. I think that's just a sales thing of, like, look, we can do it. So we did. You know what I mean? Like, I just... Big whoop.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time before they went to 8K.
Oh, you know, there's 12K cameras out right now.
Oh, there's even more than that.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, I'm talking like consumer. You can buy a 12K camera as a consumer right now for, you know, around $10,000. So, it's just... Where do we... It's just marketing. Like, where's the line? The line for me is like, okay, I'll pay for 4K stuff. But I'm never going to pay for anything past that. Other than, like, when holographic projector shit comes out.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, as far as resolution, like, I have most of my games set for 1440 and not even 4K, even though my
gaming... 1440, the score.
Yeah, my game... my game rig is easily capable of doing 4K, but, like, you lose some frame rate, and, like, my eyes can't really see 4K, and my monitor's not a super great 4K, so I set everything on ultra with, like, 1440 with... It's unlocked frame rate, and it's glass.
Yeah.
So, 4K is just one of those things, like, there's some legit 4K out there, but for the most part, it's just a sticker people like to slap on shit, make you pay more for it. So I struggle with it a little bit. We'll probably cover this sometime later this week or the beginning of next week, but I did want to go over it just real quick. Can you pull up the fight card that's going on this weekend? So TJ Dillashaw is fighting Henry Cejudo for Cejudo's belt. He's trying to become a double champ. This is like a huge trend in MMA right now. Part of me is like, okay, we get like I'm over it, but also I want to see the best of the best fight the best of the best. Mm-hmm. So I can't, I'm not really upset about it.
Gillespie's fighting lightweight. Paul Bunnell.
Who?
Gillespie. Gregor.
Oh yeah.
He's pretty decent.
Yeah, he's pretty good. What was I gonna say? I love Henry Cejudo. I think he's good. I don't see him beating TJ Dillashaw.
I don't either.
I don't think he beat Mighty Mouse. I thought he lost that fight.
Yeah, I'm not seeing him beating TJ at all.
TJ's on fire. TJ smoked Cody in that last fight.
Yeah.
And Cody's no joke.
Yeah.
I hope Dominic Cruz heals up. He just got out of surgery this last week. He had like shoulder surgery, I believe. So I hope he heals up fast. He was supposed to fight this month. It bums me out. He's one of my favorite all-time fighters. So I hope he gets healthy, like, quickly so that we can actually see him fucking fight again.
Yeah.
Before he gets too old, you know? Like, because Dominic beat TJ twice.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'd Greg love... Hardy from the Panthers is fighting.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He's 3-0.
Nice. Hey, we have a lot of football guys been moving over in the last couple of years.
Fighting Alan Crowder.
Who's on the main card? So it's TJ and Cejudo.
Greg. Greg Orr.
Yeah.
Joseph
Benavidez? Benavidez. Oh, yeah, he's fighting...
Dustin Ortiz.
Ortiz, yes, that's right.
Yep.
That'll be a good fight. They fought before, I believe.
Yeah. Glover is on it.
Teixeira, mm-hmm. Who's he fighting?
Carl Robertson.
Oh, yep. Glover's, man, he was so good for so long, but he just ran into a couple monsters. And
yeah.
So, predictions... I say TJ takes it.
TJ all the way.
I say TJ takes it.
Heavyweight. Greg Hardy, Alan Crowder. I haven't really got to see Alan Crowder fight, and I haven't
seen I've Greg seen Hardy him fight. Once or twice, but I don't remember who he fought. And it was it wasn't that long ago, actually. I don't think he's been on the roster for too long.
He was getting ready to fight Justin Willis at 219. He lost.
Okay.
Or he got canceled because he lost to him at 218 and got KO'd.
Okay, so he's coming off a loss.
Yeah. Only a second fight in the UFC.
Isn't Neil Magny fighting on this card? Or is he on the one in February? Or March?
Not on this one, no.
He's on the March card with John Jones then. Yeah, that card is fucking stacked! It's so crazy, dude. Fuck, dude. Getting to see a John Jones fight is twice in two fucking months. I'm not mad about it.
Greg Hardy, I hope, by the way, is good.
Greg Hardy.
He's a badass in the NFL.
A lot of those guys translate over.
3-0. His first fight, fucking, he's railed through everybody he's fought.
Yeah. It transfers over. I just want to watch the TJ fight. It's going to be a good night of fights, but I'm just excited. See what happens with those belts and those divisions.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Plus, it's going to be... I think this is going to be the first pay-per-view with ESPN.
Yep.
So, I would like to see what they do differently, if anything.
Oh, well, what's your take on HBO no longer doing boxing?
Kind of surprised.
Yeah, isn't it?
It's very surprising.
That's weird.
I don't know if...
The dude, too. The guy that runs it. HBO. He goes, there's no, it doesn't make sense for us to do boxing. We make our millions on the sitcoms, the TV shows, the Sopranos, stuff like that. There's no point in us spending that much money in an event that starts and finishes the same day. It's like, you've been doing
this. You and Showtime were the go-to boxing people for fucking 50 years.
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is a new thing to you.
Yeah.
Wait, we're going to do boxing? I can understand they've never done it before, and then they're trying to get into it, and they're like, nah.
Showtime's made tons of money with especially if you
Showtime's can get... Showtime's going to make a lot more money now.
Well, that's what I'm saying, especially if you can get... Because, Showtime's got Mayweather. they got a champ that...
Showtime's got money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they got a champ that they could get behind, and they sell his fights, and they make fucking cash. I mean, the McGregor-Mayweather fight made fucking
money.
Hundreds. Well, they both got paid. He got five, and Conor got three.
Yeah, money, bro.
100 million. So how much did that make altogether if they were willing to pay them that much?
Yeah,
money. Thousands of millions of dollars. So, yeah, money. So now the other fucking dude in town just closed shop on his own. So we'll see. I'd like to think that they, you know, it'll come back. I'd like to see, I have been seeing some boxing kind of showing back up on ESPN a little bit. I don't know if they're replays at this point or if they're new boxing, but I'd like to see more boxing. I'd like to see more K1 televised, more kickboxing, you know, Glory and things like that coming back and just popping up. Bellator's doing their kickboxing right now. They've actually got a lot of really good level dudes, so I hope it picks up. I love watching that shit, so.
What about AEW wrestling? You heard about that?
I do not know about AEW.
Okay. All Elite Wrestling is was bought, and they have money, bro.
Really?
They have, like...
Who's their backer?
Fuck, I can't remember right now. It's, let's see,
it's AEW. Like billionaire dude or some shit?
Yeah, hold on. AEW.
I'm waiting for, after all the shows they've done over there and made offers, I'm waiting for Saudi Arabia to just buy their own fucking wrestling league.
They offered WWE, but...
I know they offered, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, they've been into wrestling so much lately, like...
I'd Tony Khan, the Khan family.
Huh.
Billions and billions of dollars. They have, the same people that own Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow.
But anyways, they signed people like Chris Jericho.
They signed Jericho?
Mm-hmm.
Jericho's just doing all the smaller circuits.
They're, well, AEW's not, bro. This is like WCW.
Are they that big right now, or are they trying
to get that from big? WWE... Okay, this is how nervous WWE is.
Well, they should be nervous, because they've been doing shitty writing for 6 years.
Omega.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Because his contract with New Japan's up.
Mm-hmm. And WWE gave him such a huge offer. No go.
He turned it down?
Yeah. So...
There's been speculation that he was going to show up at, like, Rumble or something, mm-hmm. So...
And he still hasn't confirmed to AEW, so there's none, not sure what he's going to do. Guess who they did just sign? Well, first, they have Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho...
Great. Chris Jericho's one of my all-time faves.
Who's the announcer?
Good old JR.
Yep. Fucking JR's the announcer. Okay. But who did they just sign?
Like, wrestling-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Talent that's been in the WWE.
Huge talent for them to pick up. Like, biggest talent, like, they could fucking pick
like
up.
Like, taking it from the WWE, or he's been gone for a little while?
Gone for a little while.
And it's somebody that would make sense, not somebody who's, like, kind of different. It's not like The Rock.
No.
Okay.
That totally makes sense.
Okay. Edge?
This has made WWE so nervous that they were going to cancel a whole bunch of WWE contracts after Mania. None of that's happening. Creative's quote-unquote reasoning, they don't want to have another Austin because we don't know how to use our talent.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're making
sure... Who did they get?
CM Punk. Crazy, dude.
Punk's going to come back somewhere?
On AEW. He's already signed.
Signed
today.
Bro, take my money.
He signed about 12 hours ago.
Take my money. We should post that on the Radcast page.
I have links to all of it.
Yeah. I have been wanting Punk to come back for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two of my favorite wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho's my favorite wrestler, like, basically of all time, other than Benoit.
Yep, but, CM Punk about that. Just signed. And they're trying to get Finn Balor. Mm-hmm. Oof. And they also signed, what's his face? That Nimble.
Fucking... Oh, that guy that left? Yeah. That guy was, like, legit.
Cody Rhodes, he's actually good though.
Cody Rhodes has been good. They just fucked him with his gimmick, bro. Well, the whole Bullet Club's like contract was up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably going to take all of them then. Yeah. Wow. So where are they going to be televised? How can we watch this?
That I'm looking into. I'm not exactly sure on that.
Okay, because I'm assuming they're going to have like a launch. Because I'm assuming they're small right now. They just got bought. So they're going to have money behind them, and they're going to have a network. Because that's what might fuck them. It's like, if they get, like, Paramount Network, like Spike TV or something, like, dumb, they need a big name.
Which I'm sure they will.
I hope so, especially having CM Punk and shit. Like, take my fucking money. So.
I really hope they don't just do streaming.
I hope so as well, just because, like, sometimes that shit gets all wacky, but...
The two major networks in play.
The best thing that WWE ever did, was the network.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay for pay-per-views.
Oh, wow.
Anymore.
It's either going to be on TNT.
Wow.
Or TBS.
So it's WCW.
It's fucking WCW all over again.
Fucking WCW. Well, the WWE needs the competition.
But
they really do, because...
Paramount has also offered them. Paramount is Spike, though.
It is Spike. They bought Spike, and Paramount has more money, but not. It's a secondary channel now. So you have to subscribe to that channel separately, and a lot of people
don't. Their backers have so much money, though. They're billionaires. They're backed by... they have more money backing them than Vince has.
I know. But what I'm saying is, like, I hope they pick, like, one of those major networks. Like, Paramount...
TNT.
Is, yeah.
That'd be glorious.
That'd be glorious. WWE needs competition because somebody needs to light a fire under the ass and make them panic so that writing gets good again. They throw this bullshit, can't say shit, piss, damn, fuck out the window. We get aggressive, we get blood, we get titties and mud matches again. Woo! America.
Yeah. There's already comparisons about the billionaire-backed AEW to the billion-dollar-backed WCW, and they think it's going to have the same effect. People believe this will be the end of WWE.
It wouldn't be hard. They've been shit for years, bro.
See, but this is the same thing that happened with WWF originally.
They were going downhill. That's what I'm saying. This is going to be the end-all break-all. It's going to be one of two things. They realize what's happening. They pull their head out of their ass. B, Roman Reigns never comes back.
Yeah.
Or these new guys are going to do it right. They're going to get a bunch of old talent and people running the place and fucking sink WWE because they refuse to... We'll also see, like, are they going to come hard-hitting, like, some of these smaller organizations, or are they going to come and try to be PG as well, because they want to be... You know, we'll see what happens, but this could be very, very good for the industry.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I forgot. Guess who else they signed?
Oh, God. Who?
Bill Goldberg. WWE didn't want to give him any more matches. So they have Jericho, Goldberg.
I don't know why they wouldn't want to give him matches. He was selling fucking arenas out.
Who knows?
They were probably butthurt because, like, they always make him win, and they didn't want to make their
Paige is supposed to be going over there.
I thought she was hurt and couldn't wrestle anymore.
Whatever. AEW don't care.
I thought she had, like, a really bad back injury or something. I was never a big Paige fan, but... whatever. Who gives a shit? Yeah, that'll be fucking great. I love Goldberg. I love fucking Chris Jericho. If they steal some, like, live talent from WWE, like, if they get Finn Balor, you're fucked. Finn Balor's so talented, and they just keep mid-carding that fucking dude.
Oh, yeah.
And if I were him, like, God.
They kind of have a cool belt. Kind of looks like a luchador belt.
That's pretty legit, though. I like it. Anything else you want to go over?
Neville, by the way, goes by The Pack now.
The Pack?
The Pack.
But he's one person.
Yeah. I never liked Neville.
I was not a big
You know who guy. I really wish they would bring? Because I felt like Neville was like,
Here's where I didn't like Neville. He was a good wrestler and super talented, but he was like, he left because he was butthurt because, like, part of the wrestling industry is you gotta grind, bro. You gotta earn your way. And he wanted to just, like, be made a champion and be put on the top. It's like...
Which he was.
He was in the cruiserweight area, but it's like, dude, some of these guys have been here 10 fucking years busting their ass. You get in line.
Yeah.
So, like, fuck that guy.
Now, if they get Evan Bourne, I'll be stoked.
Dude! I've said for years, best high flyer.
Ever.
Ever. And that poor fucking dude, I don't think I've ever seen him win a match.
No.
What he would do is they'd always, like, overcome, and then they would just fucking rail him and pin him. And also one of the best guys at selling, like, a bump.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he'd be one of those guys, he'd get clothesline and do a fucking 360 McFlip, land on his neck, and go limp. Like,
you know what I think's going to end up happening? My gut feeling? I think there is going to be another Austin outbreak.
Like somebody big?
I think what's going to end up happening is, because you've already seen so many comparisons where they're like, oh man, they have big names that are already wrestling over there. Like, Chris Jericho's kind of like the Ric Flair. You know what I mean? You got CM Punk going over there. Huge.
He's huge, bro.
I think, like, Dean Ambrose is going to leave.
I could see some of those guys that they've just mid-carded so much big talent.
And I think the entire... something. If the whole Shield left... If the Shield leaves WWE will go under. Because they don't have the John Cena's anymore. Yep. They don't have the Evolutions, the Triple H's.
They don't really have anything right now. Other than when they can get their big name guys to do cameos or do the pay per views.
And yes, the people are listening, they're like, ooh, Triple H and Undertaker, they still wrestle. No, they don't.
No. They do cameos at some pay per view events, but we're talking Monday to Monday, Thursday to Thursday. Like,
yeah. AEW would be dead on arrival if this was 2005.
Yeah. If they just made a phone call and they were like, Rock, come back for 6 months. These guys are trying to launch, you're fucked.
You so?
Yeah, somebody like that, if they went, hey, we signed Stone Cold, he's going to be here for a year. Wrestle. That's what I'm saying. He's going to be here for a year. You'd be fucked. But that's never going to happen. You don't have anybody like that. The only way they might be able to save face, and again, between Vince and H, like, this is never going to happen. They burnt that bridge, is if they could have got Punk.
Mm-hmm.
They've shot themselves in the foot because they're the only game.
Triple H tried.
I've listened to a lot of podcasts where they've played like interviews from both directions, and they just don't like each other.
Yeah,
they just don't. And so like it didn't matter if he apologized or not. Like that guy was not going to work there anymore.
Yeah.
So, but they were the only game in town for so long now, since like WCW basically, because TNA didn't really threaten them all that much.
Yeah.
That they never gave a fuck what bridges they burnt. Like, oh fuck you, leave. We like you're never going to work again. Blah blah blah. It was bound to happen where somebody does this. And now half the talent that you've burnt over the years that's good is going to jump ship.
I know.
More or less money. Like, they do it because they love it.
100%.
So, like, CM Punk had no problem turning down millions of dollars to just, like, he's like, I don't care if I have to go wrestle in a fucking fairground.
Yeah. Like, he don't care.
He don't give a fuck.
He was the best talent that was there.
Yeah.
During that time.
Oh, yeah. So good. Yeah, because at the time, who else they have? Ryback? Just hurting everybody. Terrible wrestler. Terrible on the mic. Kane's old. He's fat now. Taker looks like a cancer patient. Like, it's just, it's all gone to shit. Triple H looks better than he ever has because he's retired and on steroids. Oh, guess who the producer is? Eric Bischoff.
Billy Gunn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool. Eric Bischoff. I just was like, I'm going full circle. Just straight WCW. The first show. Just Hulk coming out looking 7,000 years old.
Oiled
the fuck up.
You guys think that also NWO walks out the first night?
I saw a picture of Kevin Nash the other day.
With their fucking canes?
I saw a picture of Kevin Nash the other day. He still looks good. He's shredded.
Kevin Nash is the only one, bro.
The rest of them look like they died and got resurrected. It's rough.
Their first event will be at Jaguars Stadium, the TIA.
That makes sense if you own the fucking team, yeah.
But, like, that's of, like, WrestleMania venue. Yeah. You really think, being a wrestler fan on the outside, you think that's going to fill up, yes or no?
I tell you this right now. Is it going to fill up like WWE? I tell you this right now. If somebody calls me tomorrow and they go, Nick, Moda Center. I'm like, what's at the Moda Center? Wrestling, one match, CM Punk versus my sister. I buy that ticket. They have Punk and Goldberg and Jericho.
Yeah.
And who knows what other like guys we're going to hear names and we're going, oh shit, they got the Dudley Boys or whoever else that's, you know, looking for work. They could sell those tickets. And they own the stadium, so they can sell the tickets for half fucking price.
Do whatever they want, yeah.
They can go, they're $9. Mm-hmm. They sold 50,000 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting Punk on that marquee, and then doing 3 2-minute promos with Jericho on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho cuts the maddest promos of all time. Yeah. He's the Chael Sonnen of the WWE.
100%.
Like, they will sell those tickets.
Both
if can. They get Kenny Omega, him and Jericho just had a fucking great feud at New Japan. We want to see Punk and Omega. That'd be glorious.
100%.
Glorious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll
sell those tickets, bro.
Yeah.
They will sell those fucking tickets.
I think AEW's going to be huge.
I hope so. I hope this flowers into something.
Yeah. Don't expect contracts to be released anytime soon. Dirty Sheets, which is probably the best place to go for any of this stuff. WWE doesn't plan to release any contract stars in the near future. As it was discussed, the AEW have opened their doors to the WWE. Don't want another Austin to be created by them releasing someone they aren't using properly. is their exact
words. Yeah, so basically they know they have talent that they're not giving attention to, and they're worried if we just let them go, they're going to become something somewhere else.
AEW had already had several contracts waiting for wrestlers to be set for release after WrestleMania. However, now it's all going to be on hold.
So, but the thing is, like, were they just going to cut people loose off their contracts, or were contracts up?
Gone.
So they were going to fire a bunch of people?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess it's smart for them to not do so, but people, unless they change something quick, fast, and in a hurry, people are still going to jump ship. Because you got to also think, if I'm Cody Rhodes, okay, 6 years ago, and I'm fucking fart dust, or whatever the fuck they're calling me, and I hate my gimmick, and I'm a talented third-generation superstar, and I, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you mean if I quit, I can't take my IP of being fart dust with me?
Yeah.
I don't want to be him anyways.
No one cares.
So you jump ship and create a new fucking character and wrestle somewhere else.
Which he did great. Cody Rhodes
did
great.
He did fucking great.
His brother's supposed to be coming over too, but...
You know who fucking just showed up? Remember that Blackcraft cult wrestling I was telling you about? The, like, satanic wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Guess who just showed up there that's been wrestling on there?
Chris Jericho?
No. Better. One of the best talents of all time.
I have no clue.
Gangrel.
Oh, good.
He looks so great. He looks like fucking Penguin from the old Batman movie.
That's stupid.
He looks so rough, bro. And, like, the dude, the announcer, is that Gangrel? It's Gangrel. And he came running down the, like, 3-foot ramp they had before he got in there.
Just another side note before we end this, because I know we're already in this an hour and a half.
Yeah.
For the next Aquaman movie,
guess
who rumored villain is?
So they did Ocean Master, and they did Black Manta. I don't know a lot of Aquaman villains. Is it an Aquaman villain or just a DC villain?
DC villain.
Hmm.
And Jason Momoa wants this.
I don't know who. No idea.
Lobo.
That would be dope. We've been wanting to see a live action Lobo for years. Who plays Lobo? Who do we think should play Lobo?
Truthfully, first person comes to my mind was never gonna be able to play it, which was Venom. Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, really?
I think he played a great one. Yeah, great Lobo.
I wasn't going that route at all. I was trying to think.
But there's actors I think would do great. I think Thanos would do good at him.
Josh Brolin could probably do a decent Lobo. Okay, so. When I think of Lobo's voice and his kind of looks, and like on the bike, the handlebar mustache kind of a thing, I immediately think of somebody who's not an actor, but he's a voice actor. I think of John DiMaggio, just because he's got the fucking mustache and the voice and shit, which is hilarious to me. So if they do like an animated version of him, like a CGI, have John DiMaggio do the voice, please and thank you. I think he's played Lobo in, like, a DC cartoon before, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so, but I could just be putting two and two together. As far as live-action actors, the dude, oh, no, probably not. His face would maybe think so, but I don't think acting-wise, probably not. God. I want somebody who I think can kind of look the part, but also play the part of, like, a foul-mouthed, gritty-voiced... like, chunky biker dude from space.
I know. Who, I mean... The guy who played Hellboy.
Ron Perlman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. That's funny you say that, because from looks, the guy I was just going to say was the guy that's playing the new Hellboy.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But acting-wise, I haven't seen him in enough stuff to know if he could pull, like, that character off. Because that's a pretty, like... hyper, like, Lobo's a pretty, like, loud, robust character.
I think Ron Perlman would play pretty good. He's old, though.
He's really old.
That's the only problem.
He's, like, 9,000.
Shit.
I know. Dude, you know who should play him? Hands down. He should play everybody. I wish that every movie just had him play everybody. Nicolas Cage.
He has to.
He should also, they should fire Jason Momoa, and he should also be Aquaman.
Yeah. He has to. He has to.
Literally. If you guys don't make this happen, boycott.
Boycott.
Boycott. 100%. Yep.
That guy, I forgot his name.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah. Looking like that?
Well, looks, yes. Voice and, like, the stuff I've seen him act in, I don't think so, to be honest.
No?
No. Like, he looks scruffy right there, so, like, looks like... Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges. Have you seen the RIPD?
Yeah.
Like, the gritty-looking Jeff Bridges. I think Jeff Bridges could do it. He's a little older as well. But I think he could do it. Because he's had the longer hair and the mustache.
Yeah.
He's kind of got the deeper, gritty voice.
Yeah.
And he's played, like, rowdy characters before. Yeah. I think he could do it.
No, in D.C., they'll probably have, like, Will Ferrell be the actor having me a comic skit.
Well, it wouldn't fit the Aquaman.
Christopher kind of... Walken.
Wow, I'm here to pick up my bounty.
You're on the water.
Check out my bike.
My gun.
It doesn't work. It's down here.
I showed it. It goes boom.
So let me get this straight. Your powers are to talk to fish. Wow.
I'm a biker. From the moon.
Fuck. That's so funny.
He kills everybody, plot twist, with soldering irons.
With cowbells. Mm-hmm. Danny Trejo. No?
I don't like Danny Trejo.
No?
I don't like Machete.
Machete.
Machete, shut the fuck up. What about Al Pacino?
Oh.
Oh. Martin Sheen.
Oh my god.
No, they'll probably have, like, the fucking Rock beat or something.
Or Kevin Hart, because he's in everything. Like, both of them. Yeah. They just replace Jason Momoa with The Rock and then Kevin Hart's fucking Lobo. Mm. Okay, check it out. Look, hey, listen.
Jeff Bridges.
That's what I said! Oh, I thought you were looking it up. I was like, no. I already called that. So
no, he just, I don't know, man. Jeff Bridges would have been good, like, 15 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like, all the guys I can think of to play...
Jeff Bridges, I think, probably would be pretty good. Look wise, he'll pull off the beard.
Yeah. Plus, you know they're going to animate his face a little bit because he's supposed to be from fucking space, so...
Yeah.
I think they could do it. I think he'd do a good job, too.
Who do you think needs to play the voice of the Living Tribunal if he's a person?
Okay. I mean...
Can we
get James Earl Jones? Like, when I think of a badass, omnipotent voice, I think of Darth Vader.
Yeah.
He's a good voice. Or maybe. Perhaps. Samuel Jackson. Hey, motherfucker! Yeah. Somebody get that goddamn gantlet off that motherfucker. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of an easy... We don't have any... Was he been in a couple cartoons before? The way they did him in that one fucking cartoon, that one Avengers cartoon where he showed up, was garbage.
Yeah.
He had, like, the three different voices, but they were, like, not very... I don't know. I didn't like that approach. We don't have a lot of point of reference for, like, what do we want him to sound like.
Yeah.
Or want them to sound like, you know?
Yeah.
It's not very hard to... Just do a perfect, clean sounding
Silver
voice.
Surfer. One actor that comes to mind on the count of three.
Okay, hold on. Silver Surfer. Oh, the dude that did him originally was so OG, though. Silver Surfer. Actor. I got nothing.
One.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Three. Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me picture Ryan Gosling with no hair.
Let me get a photo of him.
Okay. The dude that plays Vision also would make a good...
I also thought that as well.
Yeah.
Problem is that obviously can't happen.
Well, no, that would make sense.
First person that came in my mind was him.
Same. Oh, then I was like, well, that wouldn't be possible. I'm trying to think of somebody else. I've talked about this before, and I know I had somebody else in my head. He's always smiling or has like a pouty face. I would have to see him play, try to play like stone, like serious. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not against it. I know I've talked about somebody playing Silver Surfer before, and it was like right at the front of my mind, and I can't think of it at all now. All right, well, I think we're going to wrap this guy up. So, for anybody who found this episode boring, go fuck yourself. If you don't like what I do on my podcast, listen to a different podcast. Sorry for the long time away. I've been busy being rich and important. So, you know, life is hard. You know, shit happens. We'll do more and more episodes as time goes on. This one's kind of a spoiler-filled, random fucking episode. We'll do some more themed ones as time goes on, guys. So, appreciate ya. Hugs and kisses. Love. All that shit.
Doug Jones.
Who the fuck is Doug Jones?
The dude that played the fish guy in Hellboy.
Okay, yeah. Wait, isn't that the same guy that played the Silver Surfer?
Originally?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
It was. It's the same dude. That's the guy that always wears makeup in all the movies. Get the, he's the Pan's Labyrinth guy, too.
He'd be perfect.
So, all right, guys. Go fuck yourselves.